Cheers.
Thank you. It's 27 minutes to nine. The UK economy has grown about 3% in the last year. Welcome news for the government with an election less than a year away. The IMF says Britain is on course to be the fastest growing economy in the G7. Some economists feel that that should be regarded in the context of growing from a low base. The former US Treasury Secretary Larry Summers is one of those who've questioned the impact of austerity policies, predicting in the past that they would cause significant economic damage. In recent months, he's been talking about the concept of secular stagnation, where interest rates even close to zero can't sufficiently raise demand, but can produce asset bubbles, causing economies to flip between a sugar rush and an energy slump.
If one looks back, certainly at the American experience, it has been of very slow growth relative to potential for the last 5 years, even starting with the economy in a hole, preceded by a sharp collapse in economic activity, preceded by adequate, but not more than adequate, economic growth that was supported by unsustainable patterns of borrowing and lending and the mother of all housing bubbles. That was preceded by a recession, and that in turn was preceded by the financial bubble associated with the internet. So it's been a long time since the United States or the industrialized world as a whole has managed to enjoy satisfactory economic growth with financial stability. And it's the difficulty of reconciling economic growth with financial stability simultaneously that is the essence of the secular stagnation hypothesis.
Your hypothesis, though, is quite different from what many people see at the moment as the global economy being firmly on a path back to recovery.
Well, it's certainly better than a global economy that is in decline. But if one looks in places where GDP has exceeded its previous level, like the United States, growth is barely, if at all, faster than growth in the potential of the economy. And while Great Britain, for example, is enjoying relatively rapid growth, it is primarily a reflection of how depressed the economy had become, with British GDP still remaining below its previous peak levels.
But can you really be that down on what is happening in Britain, where time after time economists are having to raise their forecasts for growth because the economy keeps outperforming what they're expecting?
After a period when there were quite a long stretch of performance below expectation, it certainly has been performance above expectation for the last few quarters. But if you ask where Britain is relative to the expectations that were set when a new policy was put in place in 2010, the answer has to be that GDP is below what was expected, the deficit is above what was expected, the debt to GDP ratio is well above what was expected. And so on balance, you have to say that things have been disappointing.
Okay. But if we compare the performance of the UK right now to what you said last year, Britain was undertaking a powerful test as to whether austerity could create growth, and that the results so far have not been encouraging. Quite the opposite is the case now, isn't it? The IMF thinks this is going to be the fastest growing economy in the G7 this year.
Sure. But what matters is not the rate of growth from a very depressed base. What matters is the level of GDP that's attained. And what stands out is that relative to the pre-crisis peak, British economic performance remains in a situation of having been very poor. Britain, relative to where it was before the crisis, is doing much worse than the United States, but also doing worse than France. And I know that many in Britain are inclined
Summers,
to explain that by
the comparison you were making this time last year was not compared to before the crisis. You were saying that there were reductions in demand that had led to reductions in output to an even greater extent than the pessimists predicted. You were wrong.
I don't think so. I think I said that as of that point, the reductions in output had been worse than even pessimists expected. And I think to that point, that is in fact what took place. It certainly is true that having fallen very far, there was sort of no place to go but up. And so there have been relatively rapid growth. But I think it's much more a reflection of how compressed the spring was than it is of the underlying quality of these policies. The economy is growing because it is bouncing back from having reached an extraordinarily low level. The reason it reached an extraordinarily low level has a great deal to do with the austerity policies.
So as far as you're concerned, the danger that you've been talking about, secular stagnation, this is as much a danger to the UK as it is to the US or the Eurozone?
Yes, because another element of the secular stagnation hypothesis is that the steps that are necessary to maintain growth with a commitment to austerity run the risk of creating substantial financial instability. And as I look at the data on London housing prices, for example, as I look at the extent to which the government, while talking about the importance of creditworthiness, has ended up putting the sovereign credit of Britain behind a large number of mortgages, there are real questions about the financial sustainability implications of the policies that are being pursued. Far greater questions, in my view, than would have been associated with strong policies to promote public investment.
Former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers.
20 to 9 now. Are the government's new free schools working? 4 years into the experiment with them, some of the first to open have been inspected by Ofsted. Most are being graded good or outstanding, but a number are getting more disappointing verdicts from school inspectors. One of those is the flagship Bedford Free School, set up by a group of teachers. Ofsted found that it required improvement. Well, the Today programme followed the school's founder, Mark Lehane, as